Okay, so good morning. Again, I'm Emily. Thank you, Dr. Dake, for the introduction. I hope I don't have the same nerves in front of the microphone, but it could happen. My research today is working with the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System, and it's titled School Violence and Bullying Among Sexual Minority High School Students in the United States 2009 through 2011. I have no relationships to disclose. I'd like to make sure I acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Khan, Ms. Favolo-Cantor, and Mr. Kinchin, all at CDC. So when we think of schools, they're supposed to be a place of learning and growth for students, but they can also be a breeding ground for victimization from school violence and bullying. We know that victims of school violence and bullying are a lot less comfortable attending school. They feel unsafe, feel less connected, perform poorly academically, and are more likely to drop out of school than their non-victimized counterparts. Sexual minority students that we're defining in this study as gay or lesbian and bisexual, they're at an increased risk for school violence and bullying, and therefore they're at an increased risk for the long-term and short-term indirect effects, such as suicide and other mental health problems, health risk behaviors such as cigarette smoking, alcohol use, and drug use, and unsafe sexual behaviors. So the literature on school violence and bullying for sexual minority students is emerging, but there's not a lot of population-based or large samples. A lot of what is out there is convenient samples. And so the next step is to look at a large, recent, racially and ethnically diverse population-based sample. So that sets up our study. We had two purposes. The first was to establish the prevalence of school violence and bullying by sexual identity status. And the second is to quantify the increased prevalence of school violence and bullying compared among sexual minority students compared to their heterosexual counterparts. So we use data from multiple youth risk behavior surveys that I'll just refer to as YRBSs. YRBSs are conducted by some state and local education and health agencies that I'll refer to throughout as districts. They are designed to monitor priority health risk behaviors in that site, and these health risk behaviors include sexual identity for some sites, and also include school violence and bullying. The YRBSs for state and districts use two-stage cluster samples, and they're designed to generate representative data for high school students in grades 9 through 12. The students take a self-administered site-specific survey, so all the sites have slightly different surveys where they can. Participation is anonymous and voluntary. All local parent consent procedures are followed, and the data are processed through a standard, edited, cleaned, and processed. At the end, sampling weights are assigned for the students to account for non-response, and also to weight the end to the size of the jurisdiction. So we used two data sets. The first was comprised of 10 states that are shown here in purple, and the second was comprised of 10 districts that are shown here with red stars and also listed. So we have two data sets. So all the results that I'm going to present will have a state data set and a district data set. We kept these separate out of an abundance of caution, first because we didn't want to have any potential overlap. For example, you can see that Chicago and Illinois did a survey, and also Boston and Massachusetts did a survey. Also, we didn't combine them because the districts are all urban, while the states are urban and rural, so we thought if we threw them all in there, we just wanted to avoid any bias that may exist towards the urban students. These sites are selected because they had weighted data, and they also included a question assessing sexual identity in 2009 and or the 2011 YRBS cycle. So we do have two different years of data kind of combined. So when we're talking about assessing sexual identity, most of the sites use the question, which of the following best describes you, and had these four options: heterosexual or straight, gay or lesbian, bisexual, and not sure. And actually, all of the sites use the which of the following best describes you. There was just slight punctuation differences in the options where it may be a comma instead of a parentheses around straight. All students who selected not sure were excluded from this analysis for our purpose, as were the students who didn't answer this question. Next, you can see the five measures that we used for school violence and bullying. The first four were kind of considering school violence, and then the last there is bullied at school property. Fought at school is physical fighting one or more times during the 12 months before the survey. Threatened at school is threatened or injured with a weapon on school property one or more times during the 12 months. And then carried a weapon on school property is, on one or more days during the 12 months. And then did not go to school because of safety concerns is on one or more days during the 30 days before the survey. So that's just looking at in the last month rather than in the last year. And finally, we have bullied on school property, which is just a yes or no in the last 12 months. Our analyses, we stratified them further by sex because males and females tend to experience bullying quite a bit differently. So you'll notice now that we have kind of four strata. We have district males and state males, and then district females and state females. So you see all of our results will be displayed that way. We used chi-square tests to do bivariate differences. We did everything in Sudan to account for the complex nesting structure and sampling weights, and our a priori significance level was set at 5%. For our second purpose then, to quantify the increased risk, we use multivariable logistic regression models, and each model was the behavior regressed on identity and controlled for race, ethnicity, and grade in school. Those were categorical. We're reporting everything in adjusted prevalence ratios, or APRs, with a 95% confidence interval around it, and those will have the straight students as their reference group throughout. So finally, getting to our results, you can see the state sample has just under 72,000 students. That's the unweighted N. And the district is at about 44,000. So we're looking at about 115,000 students who answered this. The distribution of sex was pretty even, but you can see here that the distribution of race, ethnicity is quite a bit different. It's a lot less white, if you will, in the district sample at only 12.5%, and that is non-Hispanic. And we also see that the prevalence of students self-reporting a sexual minority identity is a little bit higher in the district, and that just kind of confirms our decision to keep these as separate data sets. So I'll go through each of the five behaviors to look at the prevalence here. I know it can be overwhelming with all of these bars on there, so I'll just kind of pick out the highlights. This is students who are in a physical fight on school property, and here we can see this blue is the straight students, yellow is gay or lesbian, and the pink is bisexual students. And one thing I'll tell you is that each of these kind of cluster of bars was a bivariate test, and all of those were highly significant, the uncontrolled at p less than 0.001. So I'll kind of speed through these if you don't mind. The district male there, when we look at the 34% who were in a physical fight among bisexual males, that was actually the highest risk behavior for district males. Looking next at students who are being threatened or injured, we're looking at just about a quarter of all males very consistently in both the state and the district. Sexual minority males are reporting being threatened at school within the last year, and that is with a weapon. You can also see that the numbers are about 3 to 4 times higher for the female sexual minority students. Looking at weapon carrying, again, we're just going to keep seeing this pattern over and over again, where it's a little bit higher among males than females and higher among sexual minority students than the straight students. But here for females, you'll notice that among the straight females, it's actually a little bit less than 2%, and it's over 10% for the lesbian females. So this slide is showing the students who did not go to school on at least one day during the 30 days before the survey. And you'll see here that over 10% of all the sexual minority students, with the exception of that state female bisexual students, is a little over 9%. So we're looking at 10% of these kids are missing a day a month, or at least a day during the month before the survey, and that's fairly concerning. Lastly, you can see these numbers really skyrocket here for bullied on school property. The only place we're not seeing huge numbers is in the district females. But we're looking at 43% for the state males and a third for the bisexual district and state female students. Okay, so I'm getting into my logistic regression results. Here's for the males, and I know this is a lot of numbers. here because I would be remiss not to report the confidence intervals around all of these prevalence ratios. So just to give you the big picture, here there are, five behaviors for, there's 20 boxes here, and all but two of those are significantly higher than the straight counterparts. Fought at school and carried a weapon at school among gay males in the state were not significant, but everything else is significantly higher. And if we look at the did not go to school because of safety concerns, it's very consistently just under three times higher among sexual minority males. Looking at the females, then, we're seeing the same thing, big picture. Everything is significantly higher. The one that is not is bullied at school among the lesbian females in the district sample. So as you can see from our study, the sexual minority students are routinely experiencing these increased risk for school violence and bullying. And that really puts them at an increased risk for suicide and other mental health problems, multiple other health risk behaviors, as well as poor academic performance. And these indirect risks really have the potential to be just over the course of their life really detrimental in terms of health and economic impacts. I'll briefly touch on, there are three evidence-based strategies for prevention. The first is for schools to have anti-bullying policies that have specific language to include prohibition of harassment based on sexual orientation or identity, gay-straight alliances or GSAs, and lastly, for schools that don't have GSAs, even small-scale interventions such as adding a teacher to supervise in the hallways in between classes, and having an adult advocate who is kind of well known to be an advocate or supportive of LGBTQ students can really change the school engagement for those sexual minority students. I'll touch quickly on our limitations. The first is that the sexual identity question may not be capturing all of the students. They may not feel comfortable answering it. They may not actually identify themselves as sexual identity. They may be engaging in same-sex behavior, but not report themselves as sexual minority, or they may not have understood the question. And then secondly, only three of the five questions that we had were very clearly measuring victimization. Carrying a weapon at school and physical fighting, it's kind of convoluted if it's victimization or perpetration. So future research may want to parse out those separate issues. And the last here are just some standard limitations we have around YRBS data. Self-reported, they're only descriptive of youth who are in school and are not representative of the students who are not in school. We know that sexual minority students do tend to drop out at a higher rate. They're also only representative of the states and districts that assess sexual identity, so there could be potential bias there. And finally, they are cross-sectional data. So thank you so much. I have my email address up here. I'm just eolson@cdc.gov if you have any further questions, and I'll hang out a little bit afterwards. So, thanks.
Do we have any questions for our presenter today? We have a couple minutes for questions. Yes.
Thank you very much. That was really, really interesting. I think you said at the beginning that previous studies hadn't had a good ethnic and racial mix.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any sub-analysis on the differences between different groups that you were able to share with
you? We did do the analysis. I am not able to show you at this time. For the purpose of this publication, it was kind of a little redundant to show everything by the race ethnicity breakouts. The data are large enough, and that's one reason that we combine 2 years of data as well, is to get a large enough unweighted N to be able to do those by race ethnicity subgroups. But I'd be happy to share that with you further if you want to email me. I don't have the numbers fresh off the top of my head, I'm afraid. Thank you.
Okay, if we can give our presenter a round of applause.